This is Don Hossig with Cancer Action Network's Loving the Earth Pollution Free Revolution. Joining us today is Dr. Samuel Epstein.
Your voice is very faint.
Okay.
Your voice is very faint.
Okay. Yeah, this is Donald Hossig with Cancer Action Network. This is Loving the Earth Pollution Free Revolution. Dr. Samuel Epstein is on the line with us. He is the founder of the Cancer Prevention Coalition. Good afternoon, Dr. Epstein.
Good afternoon.
Let's just jump right in with your story about why you created the Cancer Prevention Coalition, what it has been doing since its creation, and what you want to do next.
Well, the Cancer Prevention Coalition was created about 2 decades ago to provide information on the science and the politics of avoidable causes of cancer. And it has worked extensively in these areas, providing the public with information, working with members of Congress, and working with the media.
Okay. Why did you decide to start the Cancer Prevention Coalition at the time when you started it? It seems to me that you are a leader, you know, certainly one of the first, maybe the first national cancer prevention group. Why did you start it when you started it?
Well, I've written about 17 or 18 books, but I felt that in general these probably would have appealed more to interested audiences, and that a certain percentage of the general public might not be interested in these books or have difficulty in coping with these books, although several of them were written for the general public. So for all these reasons, we decided to make information available on a wide range of avoidable causes of cancer to the public at large. And we have done so for well over 2 decades.
And how does the Cancer Prevention Coalition go about making this information available to the public at large?
Basically by press releases.
Okay.
There are other mechanisms, but the basic mode is through press releases.
So tell us about one of your recent press releases. What was it on the subject of?
I can't recall. I do so many that I really
okay,
can't.
Okay.
I think fluoride was one of them, perhaps.
Okay.
Fluoride toothpaste was one recent one.
Fluoride is certainly an cause pollutant exposure of concern.
Yes, there's dangers. Fluoride is carcinogenic. I believe that was the last one.
Yes. Okay. Now, we talked before the interview and decided to focus this specifically on breast cancer prevention. So tell us what the Cancer Prevention Coalition sets before the public as information that would lead to reduced risk of developing breast cancer.
Well, the first and the most obvious one is to give the public with information that breast cancer in general is largely an avoidable cancer. And given the adequate information, the public can reduce, if not virtually eliminate, the causes of their susceptibility to breast cancer. The major exception, of course, is the small percentage of women that have genetically determined risks of breast cancer, known as the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which are rare, but commoner in Jewish than in non-Jewish people.
Okay, so what then are the measures that people, that women need to take to reduce their risk of breast cancer?
Well, first of all, before getting into that, I should just point out that there has been very major increases in risk of cancer in the last few decades, from 1975 to 2007, which is our latest data we have. There's been about a 20% increase in the incidence of breast cancer, a 20% increase in the incidence of breast cancer since 1975, which I believe is pretty well unknown to the public at large. Most of the public would be under the impression that we're making progress in reducing incidence of breast cancer, but nothing could be further from the truth.
Okay. What do you suspect is the cause of that?
I don't suspect. I mean, I talk about information, and the information is readily available. The first is there are a certain percentage of breast cancers which are not avoidable, and these are particularly, Jewish women carrying particular genes known as BRCA1 and BRCA2, and relatively a small percentage of breast cancer patients have these genes. And I should also mention, if you have these genes, that your susceptibility to radiation is cancer risks of radiation are further increased. So, as I say, these are genetically determined risks of breast cancer, and the very important point is that they should be detected as early as possible, not by mammography, but by breast self-examination. Mammography will increase risks of breast cancer in these women because radiation itself is a cause of breast cancer.
Okay. As far as what are the causes of this increase in breast cancer? You know, what are women getting exposed to now that they weren't getting exposed to before that's causing this increase in breast cancer incidence in the U.S.?
Well, there's a very, very wide range of avoidable causes of breast cancer. Very briefly, let's summarize them under three headings. One are, and we can go into some further details on some of them, one is the environmental causes, and that's proximity of residents to petrochemical plants and hazardous waste sites, exposure to a wide range of occupational carcinogens, benzene, ethylene oxide, dioxane, dichloromethane. And I should point out that the evidence for occupational causes of breast cancer is solid, but very, very poorly recognized. Next, another category are diets high in meat, contaminated with carcinogenic pesticides and with estrogens, and dairy products contaminated with genetically engineered milk. American meat and milk are banned worldwide because the meat comes from cattle implanted, cows and steers implanted with estrogens before they go enter into the feedlot to increase meat production by about 10 to 12%, but that meat is highly contaminated with hormones. And the next is genetically engineered milk, which is about 20% of the milk. Although the incidence of the genetically engineered milk and consumption is somewhat on the downgrade. But the genetically engineered milk increases risks, drinking genetically engineered milk increases risks of breast, colon, and prostate cancers. And we have unequivocal evidence to support this. I have a book on genetically RBGH or genetically engineered milk, which goes into details on all of this. Another category is drinking water contaminated with atrazine. Another is domestic exposure to a wide range of carcinogenic household products. We can come into that again in a moment. And another one is domestic exposure to electromagnetic frequency radiation from electric blankets. Another major category are oral contraceptives with early and prolonged use, estrogen replacement therapy with high doses and prolonged use, premenopausal mammography with early and repeated exposure, and we could come back to that, non-hormonal prescription drugs such as some tranquilizers known as diazepams and antihypertensives, and also the silicone gel breast implants, which are used less and less nowadays, especially those implants wrapped in polyurethane foam. Then lifestyle is an important factor. Alcohol and early excessive use has been related to breast cancer. Tobacco with early and excessive use. Obesity is a risk factor for postmenopausal women. And a wide range of hormonal cosmetic ingredients known as EDC, endocrine disruptive chemicals. And this is probably the least well recognized by the general public and the most easily controlled. In a book of mine which has come out recently called Healthy Beauty, it goes into details on these ingredients known as endocrine disruptive chemicals, which are hormonal, and they're present in a very, very wide range of commercial cosmetics and personal care products, and these pose risks of breast cancer. And I would think this is probably the leading cause other than perhaps the genetically determined ones, and other than some others. So I would say this is a very, very major cause of breast cancer. Then
the major cause is the presence of the EDCs in the body care products.
A very wide range of hormonal ingredients, which are known as endocrine disruptive chemicals, These are all listed and discussed in the book, the Healthy Beauty book, and it's a very readable book, and it's a book which the public should devour, because it will provide them with information on reckless, if not criminal, industries, cosmetic and personal care product industries that sell a wide range of toxic ingredients, including hormonal ones, which pose risks of breast cancer. And this is certainly within the control of the public. And it's amazing that the Food and Drug Administration, although it has overwhelming authority since the 1938 Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, even then the FDA has still failed to act on this. And I should also point out that a wide range of American cosmetics and personal care products are banned virtually worldwide. So here we have a situation which America is unique. Our meat is suspect, if not clearly incriminated. The same goes with our milk, and the same goes with our cosmetics and personal care products. And you may ask, where is the FDA in all of this? And the answer is nowhere, even although it has overwhelming authority from the 1938 Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. Then there are some other cosmetics, dark hair dyes with early and prolonged use, and a final one in this simple list, physical inactivity. Physical activity is very important for a wide range of reasons, and it helps protect against breast cancer, and it's an anti-breast cancer. It's an anti-breast cancer activity which is well within the province of the entire female population. So that's some of the causes of breast cancer. And
You've done a great job of setting that forth. I'd like to focus in now on a couple of things.
I haven't quite finished the causes of the breast cancer, yes.
Yes.
Physical inactivity has also been incriminated. It's very important that women exercise regularly, and we have solid evidence that, in fact, there was a recent study that 150 minutes a week of moderate physical activity can reduce the risks of breast cancers and also colon cancers, and I think that's very, very important. So the public does have ability to influence their risks of breast cancer, even although the Food and Drug Administration has done nothing whatsoever, and even although the American industries have done nothing whatsoever to remove toxic ingredients from their cosmetics and personal care products.
Let's talk about why FDA hasn't acted to protect the food supply and to clean up the commercial products, such as the body care products. Why is this?
Well, all one can say is they haven't. They failed to, and they failed to respond to a series of initiatives and petitions, which I and others have, the Cancer Prevention Coalition has filed a variety of petitions to get the FDA on toxic and carcinogenic ingredients and products, but it has failed to respond. And I think what's needed is anybody who's listening to this program to take appropriate action in this regard. And by that I mean contact their member of Congress and say, how is it that the Food and Drug Administration has failed to act to protect us? And why is it? Are there any potential conflicts of interest? When senior staff of the FDA retire at the age of 55, generally do they go into industries which are favorable to, whose economic interests would be threatened by any regulation? But certainly extensive congressional hearings should be held on the criminal irresponsibility of the Food and Drug Administration, which is so well documented that it doesn't need any further emphasis.
This is a very interesting matter to our group, because we also have a petition before FDA to have the banning of the feeding of waste animal fat to food animals. So these endocrine-disrupting chemicals like dioxins and PCBs would not be in the animal fat that people are eating.
That's very important, too.
So tell us about what is one of your petitions. Kind of give us some background on one of your petitions to FDA.
I say that again.
Could you give us some details of one of the Cancer Prevention Coalition's petitions to the U.S. FDA?
Well, we've done so many of these. I think You could look them up on our website. You probably would find about a dozen or so of these, and you can pick and choose whichever ones you want. And they cover a very wide range of cosmetics and personal care products. Very recently, we had one on bisphenol A, which is an endocrine disruptive chemical, which is widely present in a series of products, quite apart from in some. BPA has been used also in some bottling and casings. So if you look at the website, you'll find probably a dozen or so references to petitions to the FDA, and also these are listed on our website, so you can go into details on any of them. The fact remains is that as far as the general public is concerned, it's unlikely that any request from them to the FDA for information that they will get any response at all, or any honest and responsible response. So what we're situated with is no country in the world will use, to all intents and purposes, American cosmetics, personal care products, American meat, and American milk. So this is what we're talking about now in cosmetics is emblematic of the failure of the Food and Drug Administration to protect U.S. citizens.
What did your congressman say when you contacted him or her about the failures of the FDA?
Well, we have filed several petitions to the FDA on various of these issues, and these petitions have been endorsed by leading experts in the country and leading experts in a wide range of areas, and these have been ignored. We've had no effective response. So we're really dealing with a total...
Even your congresspeople don't help you out?
What do you say?
Your congressional representative does not help out?
We have contacted them, but for some reason or other, Congress has not been responsive, with some rare exceptions. But any responsiveness which they have exhibited has not resulted in any productive action on the part of the Food and Drug Administration.
How long has this been going on?
Decades. Since 1936, when the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act was started.
Well, I don't
gave the FDA authority.
As far as your organization's efforts with its petitions, how long has the Cancer Prevention Coalition had
over two decades
to the FDA for action?
About over two decades.
Wow. How do you... This is outrageous. We've had ours before them since 2003, and we thought that we had waited a long time for a decision.
So what date did you say?
We have a petition before U.S. FDA to ban the feeding of waste animal fat to food animals.
Yeah.
And to label animal products for their dioxin and POPs content, these persistent organic pollutants, dioxins, PCBs, brominated flame retardants, bunch of pesticides, and the FDA has not taken any action on our petition, and it's had the petition since...
You filed a formal petition, did you?
That's correct.
Okay.
And we're talking to our congressman about it. We have our representative here in the 23rd Congressional District. We're going to talk to him on a conference call later this month about our displeasure with the FDA.
Well, I suggest that when you do that, you make it clear that this is just the tip of the iceberg which you're talking about.
Okay. I'll refer them to your website and your petitions. I'm very glad that we got into this matter. I had no intention of discussing this particular issue, but it's good to, the very fact that your organization was bringing those petitions, and now to know that this has gone on for so very long.
Not only the Cancer Prevention Coalition, but they have been endorsed by members of the distinguished scientists from all over the nation who joined in. And so it hasn't just been, although it's been headed by the Cancer Prevention Coalition, these petitions have been endorsed widely by the leading national experts.
Tell me this one thing. Do you get media coverage? Do you get news media coverage?
No.
Of your, huh?
Very little.
Yes or no?
Very little.
Very little. Exactly.
The American public still feels that if there was anything the matter, FDA, the government would take care of it. They find it difficult to believe that the Food and Drug Administration is unresponsive. This is in total contrast to Europe, whereas if you show the average German or man and woman in the street in Germany or in France, you show them a bottle of cosmetics and personal care products, an American bottle, they say, oh, we wouldn't touch that. That contains this and this ingredient and that ingredient. So the American public has a position of there's an English expression, leave it to nanny, leave it to the nurse, and leave it to the Food and Drug Administration. And what is needed is a large-scale national recognition that the Food and Drug Administration is criminally reckless in its unresponsiveness to protect the health and the lives and safety of American citizens. And when I talk about petitions, these petitions, which are of the Cancer Prevention Coalition, which are available on our website, were endorsed by the recognized leading experts in the field.
Well, it seems to me, our conclusion is that the FDA is so controlled by the corporate interests that they are not taking action upon science. They are only taking action upon the...
But how do you think they are controlled? What is the way of controlling them?
By the people that are in there being people that have a connection to corporations. They just put a Monsanto, former Monsanto CEO, at the head of FDA.
That's correct. That's quite correct. Well, there's two things. One is the Taylor is the ex. In fact, he's an assistant. He works in the office of the commission of the FDA. So that is certainly very true. But the American public still believes that if there's any problem at all, the government would take care of it. There is one other factor too, and that is the retirement patterns of the FDA. When members of the FDA reach the age of 55 or so, they can retire. And if they retire, will they want to do for the rest of their lives? Well, they certainly want a job, and the area in which they have greatest familiarity with is food and drugs. So if they want to get a job in the food and drug industries, they will have taken no action to threaten the interests of these industries. So there are very strong grounds for suspecting very major conflicts of interest. And as you know, Michael Taylor, who's a commissioner, was a consultant for Monsanto.
Yeah, we find this is why we call our program, well, our series, our radio series, Loving the Earth Pollution-Free Revolution, because it's clear to myself and the members of our organization and to others that we interact with that truly nothing short of a revolution is necessitated by the situation we find ourselves in with our regulatory agencies, the whole administration, year after year, doesn't matter what political party is in place, it continues to be the case, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, that the government is merely a face mask, a kind of a covering influence for the corporations. The corporations are the actual leaders and drivers of policy.
Well, you expect the corporations, you expect such conduct from the corporations. That's not to be surprised about. What is to be surprised about is the regulatory agencies. In this particular case, we're talking about the Food and Drug Administration. The regulatory agencies are totally indifferent to these concerns. From my standpoint, I charge them with criminal negligence, and criminal negligence which should be punished by jail.
I think jail terms should be levied
on commissioners and their staff for failure to protect the American lives, health, and lives of American citizens.
So, what are the steps to accomplishing that?
What are the steps to what?
What are the steps to accomplishing jail time for these criminals?
Well, you have to get members of Congress sufficiently interested to take such action, and members of Congress have a large. In general, have a wide range of issues on their plate, and many of them don't understand these issues. Many of them still believe that if there was a problem, surely the FDA would be taking care of it, or other agencies would be taking care of other problems, and they don't have the time and the energy, in general, to go research the issues, even although research is not needed. All that's needed is to read a few sheets of paper which lay out all this information in very simple terms. And if you look at our press releases, you'll find these are laid out in very simple language.
What we have concluded is that the members of Congress, considering the fact that they receive donations from the corporations to win their offices and stay in their offices, that they are not at all inclined to criticize the regulatory agencies that are in the pocket of the corporations.
Well, that's partially true, but I wouldn't spread that brush too widely. In fact, some of them, a significant number, have conflicts of interest. But I think the larger percentage are unaware of these issues and have never had the opportunity to, or never provided themselves with the opportunity to study them and to delve into them deeply, because technically, one could say that technically they're difficult to follow, which isn't the case. In fact, when we've published on these things, we've published very simple press releases, which any high school, anybody who's been to high school can read, let alone anybody who's a member of Congress. So we're dealing with overwhelming, reckless failure of the Food and Drug Administration, aided and abetted by failure of Congress, members of Congress, to recognize this as a national problem and to take appropriate action.
And it's causing lots of cancer. This is what makes me so, you know, intense about battling against this. To have such a horrible disease caused unnecessarily by this bad behavior of government that is out of control of the public, but can in control by the corporations, in the control of the corporations, it seems like the very essence of why anyone would want to have a revolution. When government is causing so much harm and doing it with no reason other than greed, you know, just being controlled by the greed that controls the corporations.
Well, I think in some instances it's ignorance. In other instances, there's conflicts of interest. And irrespective of the reason, is the American public are not protected by regulatory agencies in the same way as the public are in other parts of the world, particularly the EU, where American meat, American milk, and American cosmetics and personal care products, to all intents and purposes, are banned.
It would be very interesting to have a discussion with people from the EU and to listen to their explanation of why they have such a different regulatory situation.
That's no problem. There's no point having a discussion with them. They take it for granted that the responsibility...
Why do they have so much more reasonable results from their regulators? Why are their regulators doing the right thing and ours not?
Well, you're not seriously suggesting you ask members of the EU why they're doing the right thing. The question should be directed to members of Congress. Your arguments and your questions are strengthened by contrasting what's happening in this country what's happening in the EU.
Well, see, I would like to know what they're doing right in the EU and then force that upon the U.S.
How do you suggest you force that upon the U.S.?
Like you said before, get some congressional hearings going on this problem and talk about it loud and clear until enough members of the public hear about it. No matter what kind of corporate media we have that's holding this problem down, until some big changes occur, like those former Monsanto executives that are running the FDA ending up in jail.
Well, this is entirely what I've spent the last 30 years doing, but in fact have been unsuccessful in creating any sense of responsibility in regulatory agencies, but informing the public. So I think we have spread the message significantly to educated and informed members of the public who will choose their cosmetics and personal care products carefully, and who will not buy genetically engineered milk, and who will buy meat that comes from a relatively small group of meat producers that don't put their cattle into feedlots and give their cattle hormones before they go into feedlots in order to increase muscle mass and increase meat production and profits by about 13% to 15%.
Well, it's good to hear that your organization is having success with its education. We do a lot of education. Cancer Action New York does a lot of educating in schools and colleges, but We also find that oftentimes we're met at, by the gatekeepers stating, we prefer to work with the agencies, meaning the government public health entities, such as county health departments and state health departments and federal health agencies. And then they are just part of those who are continuing to be misled about what's going on here.
Well, the media also, to a certain extent, are to blame.
The media is awful. The media has been just outrageously lacking in, and I understand it, it's because they're owned by Westinghouse and GE and some of these other big corporations. That we see this in simple terms as a simple matter of the polluters have poisoned the nation, and now they are doing everything that their money can buy to keep those poisoned Americans from recognizing what is going on here and demanding that the poisoners all go to jail.
Well, the tragedy of all of this is that America, and with pride, regards itself as one of the leading democratic nations in the world, and I think there's no argument about that. The argument, however, is that agencies working for the American government are corrupt, irresponsible, reckless, or mixtures of all of these, and with conflicts of interest. And it has been very difficult to get a head of steam in Congress about these issues. Periodically, one can, members of Congress who I deal with have raised these concerns, and then the concerns kind of have been raised, and then in general they don't proceed to hearings, but when they do proceed to hearings, they have the outcome is muted, if not equivocal, and no action really results from this. So we're really dealing with what I'm afraid to say is a failure of democracy in the most democratic nation in the world. I think America, without any question, is the most leading democracy. However, in spite of the fact that it's the most leading democracy, democratic initiatives by members of Congress to protect the lives, safety, and health of American citizens are, to say the least, woefully inadequate. And the examples that were given relate not only to cosmetics and personal care products, but also to meat, to milk, and you name it.
I certainly am going to dig into this matter of why it is that the EU is able to do these things right to protect Europeans from these chemicals.
I don't think that's a serious question. That's not a serious question, with due respect, because you expect any government to take care to that its citizens aren't exposed to avoidable causes of disease.
I understand that. I know you expect that, but somehow it's not occurring in this great democracy of ours.
Well, you're switching the questions. You first asked, why is it that in Europe there's responsibility, and in England there isn't, in America there isn't responsibility? The fact is, these are the facts. The EU is responsive and responsible. The American administration, Congress, and regulatory agencies are non-responsive. Period.
Well, why? I'm just wondering why. I would love to know why.
Well,
somehow
the Europeans keep themselves
separate from the corporations. It seems that somehow the Europeans have kept their government entities separate from the corporations, to the extent that they're not influenced by them.
Well, look, this discussion is becoming non-productive. What is important to know is that in America, the citizens are not protected from a wide range of ingredients that cause cancer, hormonal effects, and birth defects in a way which could readily be prevented. That's in America. However, in the EU, strong action is taken to prevent these occurrences and these problems.
Where is the Cancer Prevention Coalition going? You know, what are you going to do now that all these decades have passed by, and there has not been any governmental correction, no governmental action to reform itself, no changes at the upper levels of management in the FDA? We see the same thing with the EPA. The EPA is horrible as far as dealing with dioxin. They have struggled to deal with dioxin and all the corporations that wanted not to deal with dioxin for many, many decades.
Well, as one of the earliest discoverers of dioxin and the use in human products came from me as from 1985, 1986. However, there has been no action since then, and I doubt if there will be any action in the foreseeable future. What is needed is a grassroots revolt,
That's
and
right.
we've attempted to do this in various ways through press releases and to contact with individual members of Congress who have a wide range of issues on there to handle. And unfortunately, we have been singularly unsuccessful.
I think what it needs is to coalesce with other, we will start trying to work as much as we can with your group to build what you are doing as far as trying to get some good behavior, some action based upon responsibility to protect the public health out of FDA. We're going to focus a lot on that. We've been doing some on that and kind of spreading ourselves thin, but we're going to kind of pump up our efforts in holding FDA responsible for this lack of responsibility to protect the public
Well, be
health.
my guest. You have a wide range of press releases which you can use and quote from, and I'd be interested to hear what happens. And if you want, I'll put my two bits worth in. But as I say, I
What
think.
we're going to do, we're going to hold a tele news conference on this matter of FDA not acting on our petition, not acting on the Cancer Prevention Coalition's petitions for such a long period of time before this, and just really, we find it's we have a few contacts in the news media that seem to have enough character and enough, news person, integrity, and just have this interest in telling people about what is going on that's significant and important, what is newsworthy. We have a few contacts, but really very few. I've talked to this Randy Schmid, who is the science editor for the
Say that
AP
again, I missed
Washington.
that.
There's an editor by the name of Randy Schmid, who is the
Randy
AP's
Smith.
science, science editor in Washington. I've talked to him
In what
over and over
organization?
again. AP,
Science editor of
Associated
what?
Press. Associated Press.
Associated Press, yes.
Yep, and he has been just so casual. He's just, well, we don't have time for this right now. There are other things going on. There's always some reason for not dealing with this matter of dioxins in the U.S. food supply and the need for government action, simple government actions like banning the feeding of waste animal fat to food animals that would correct this problem
Well, I
and
think I
protect
should
Americans.
point out that it's unreasonable to expect any member of the media to act or take a single isolated issue and devote a great deal of time and attention to it. I think what's needed is a far more broad brush to indicate the total regulatory failure of an agency, the Food and Drug Administration, to paint it with a broad brush rather than to pick one or two examples. You can
I see.
Pick one
That's
or
a
two
good idea.
examples and spend the next 50 years taking example after example. What's needed is hearings, is strong interest of a member of the Congress on the reckless, if not criminal, irresponsibility of an agency in particular. We're talking about the Food and Drug Administration, and to hold hearings on that. I'd
That's
certainly be
exactly
willing
what
to.
we're going to work for. We're going to ask our member of Congress is William Owens. He's a Democrat, and he's been in Congress for a partial term when the Secretary of the Army was moved on, and then Mr. Owens won the partial term seat, and now he's in there for a full term that he just won this past election in 2010. And so we have a conference call all lined up for, I believe, the 22nd of February. And the first thing we're going to ask him for is whether he would call for hearings on this matter of FDA being irresponsible in its actions involving the allowance of these products and these foods that are causing cancer.
I think that's a very useful thing to do, and I'll be supportive in any way I can.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll let him know that your organization has been battling this for decades, and that there's a lot of information on your website that substantiates
Well, even
this.
before the website, I mean, even before we started the website, I wrote a book called The Politics of Cancer in 1975, which was a prize-winning multiple award book, which all these issues were basically laid out.
I see. Did
And
you
there have
read?
been
Have
about
you read the
16 or
book?
17 other books to follow since then, which have gone into these in different aspects and different details and different focuses. So the whole area, there's no shortage of science. We have more science and information than we need. We need
exactly.
more science like a hole in the head. What
right.
we need is political action.
Yeah, we say it over and over again, that this thing of doing more research to prevent cancer, you know, to deal with cancer, that is not necessary. We know what we need to know. What needs to occur is action on the scientific research that's already been published and the knowledge that already exists.
What one needs is criminal penalties for members of regulatory agencies that fail to act on their congressional delegation of responsibility. The FDA has well-defined areas of responsibility. The EPA has also. Occupational Safety and Health Administration also has. And these agencies, in general, are irresponsive to interests other than their own personal interests, which very often and generally conflict with those of the public who they should be serving.
Well, tell me, would it require new legislation to establish...
No, you don't need new legislation.
I don't think we do either. I don't think
you need it like a hole in the head. You need jail sentences. You need dismissal of members of regulatory agencies, if not jail sentences. Criminal action, I believe, is required.
Well, I agree with you 1,000%, and we are... What we're going to do... Tell me, isn't it possible? Why couldn't we just find some district attorney someplace or find some member of the justice system that would say, okay, I'm going to prosecute them. I'm going to file these charges against them.
Be my guest. I'll be helping any way I can, as I've been doing for a long time already. And I think that congressional hearings are needed. And
okay.
Also, another thing that would be useful was 1 million signatures framed around any one of these issues or around these issues in general. If you care to do the legwork on this, I say if you care to do the legwork on this and the organization on this, I'll certainly be willing to head up or join or participate in it.
Well, that sounds very good. This is something that we will jump on. I would like to, I'm going to say right here, on the air, on this program, that we will work with your group to create a petition that covers all of your petitions and all your issues. Our one issue of this waste animal fat feeding that we have before FDA, put all those...
It's a animal fat feeding. Just tell me what you're doing there.
What we have found in the science is that when food producers, use waste animal fat to manufacture the feeds that they
feed
to food animals, they're keeping the levels of dioxins and PCBs and PBDEs higher than any. This is the most effective way of keeping these chemicals at a high level in the U.S. food supply. So we asked the FDA to ban the practice, and they just ignore us. They've just ignored it totally.
Well, I think it's been a useful discussion, and let's hear from you in the future when you have some political action lined up.
We will certainly try to get you on a tele news conference with some of the best media that we've found through about a decade. We've existed since 2000. Cancer Action New York started in 2000. And so we're along. When did the Cancer Prevention Coalition get founded?
I'm sorry, say that again.
When did you found the Cancer Prevention Coalition?
Basically, to provide the public with information
on
avoidable causes of cancer, and also to do critiques and of regulatory failure, and
sure.
an attempt to bring the U.S. into line with standard practices in civilized and other civilized parts of the world, and industrialized and democratic parts of the world, particularly the EU.
Sure. When did you start the Prevention Coalition?
About 20 years ago.
Wow, we think that we've been doing this for a long time. Honor to Dr. Samuel Epstein for all this years and all this time that you spent, all this book writing and organizing and talking to Congress and talking to the public and trying to bring this change. We are so happy to have discovered your, your persona, your good vibe in this, and we throw our energies into your camp, and trying to make this stronger, what you're doing, because exactly, you are doing exactly what I feel that our group wants to do for the future.
Well, my time is very limited, but on the other hand, once you have lined up a strategy for regulatory and political action, I'd be more than happy to join in and take an active role.
Okay. Well, it's been so nice talking to you, Dr. Epstein.
I beg your pardon.
I said it's been so nice talking to you, and I'm just thankful you've given us all this time, and I don't want to take any more of your very, very valuable time. I feel that we've covered this ground very well. You've made the point that women can take actions both politically and in their own daily lives to reduce their risk of developing breast cancer.
But why just women? Why just breast cancer? Why not cancer
exactly.
in general? Why not men?
Exactly.
Why not
yes,
the total
exactly.
nation of men
yes.
and women and who are out to protect themselves from a wide range of cancers, out to protect their children? To partition this up and to say, well, this is just for women or just for men, just for this, just
yep.
for that. We're dealing with total regulatory anarchy.
That's right.
America is an outlaw internationally in terms of the products it makes and markets, particularly food, meat, milk, and cosmetics and personal care products. And it's with a sense of deep shame. I'm English by background and came to this country two or three decades ago. Worked at Harvard and Children's Cancer Research Foundation in Boston and various other places. Be that as it may, without going into further details, I am deeply concerned about the total regulatory failure of America in contrast with the regulatory responsibility in the EU. And I think whatever action can be taken to bring this to the attention of the public, to responsible members of the Congress, is certainly to be strongly encouraged. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you
so much, Dr. Epstein.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. This has been Loving the Earth, Pollution-Free Revolution. I have been talking with Dr. Samuel Epstein. He is a member of the faculty of the University of Illinois at Chicago. He is the founder and very powerful leader of the Cancer Prevention Coalition. We have covered a topic today that is so central to bringing great change for the protection of the public health and the protection of the environment. It is this matter of the regulatory agencies, the FDA we discussed today, the EPA that we have discussed in the past, these regulatory agencies being totally controlled by the corporations, showing no responsibility for protecting the environment and the public health. This is the very, very heart. This is the demand upon the public. If there's any honor in Americans, if there's any interest in having a good country and having representation and having a role in creating good government, it's now. The time is now to act on demanding congressional hearings, demanding that these regulatory agency staff people and these administrators be locked up, put in prison, punished for having cheated Americans out of good government for decades, as you have just heard from Dr. Epstein. This is Donald Hasig with Cancer Action Networks, Loving the Earth, Pollution-Free Revolution. I'm hoping everybody is getting into revolution. Good day.